理课堂听 class.com。
And studio classroom is on the air. Today we're talking about how to make your business do better, maybe by working yourself out of a job.Hi, everyone. This is Advanced Studio Classroom, and my name is Troy. And back with me in the studio today are our three hosts from yesterday's program, Ethan, Esther, and Bill. Hi.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Troy.
Hi, Troy.
Great. Well, today we're talking about, again, making your business better by understanding first probably what is the greatest business mistake that most small business owners make when they first start a business.
And that is making themselves indispensable. They become so important to the business that they don't put in place a system that can replace them if they are unable to perform their job.
Okay, in yesterday's article, we looked at that possibility and we realize that if there is a crisis in your life of some kind, whether it be getting the flu, getting some kind of sickness, being laid up in the hospital, maybe a traffic accident of some kind, or some personal family matter that interrupts your day. What happens? You can't show up at the office to run the business.
Yes, and once you can't show up at the office, if you are indispensable, the business has to either shut down, suspend hours, or just not produce what they at the quality they have been producing.
And I think there's another problem, too. Perhaps nothing like that might ever occur. Well, then will your business grow? We read yesterday that it probably won't because you really don't have time to fine-tune your business and plan for the future.
Nobody is capable of doing everything. Now, when you start a business, you need to be an entrepreneur. That's one of our terms from yesterday. You have to create, come up with the idea. But if you want it to succeed in the long run, you're going to need some help along the way.
Okay, so you need to find ways to reduce dependence on yourself. And you need to realize that you need to be more dependent on others and see that there are people around you who can take up the responsibility to follow through, finish, manage other jobs and projects within the company. At least in the long run, or in the long run of your business operation, it will probably grow if you, as the owner of that company, have more time to plan for the future of the business. Well, if you are looking in your magazine, please turn to page 19. And take a look at day two, then, of the business article, Indispensable. Okay, and let's ask Wayne now to read for us the first half of today's lesson.
Make a small business work. Take J.D. Cochran, a retired Navy chief who bought an independent auto repair business in Florida 14 years ago. He drew on experiences from his 26 years in the military to develop systems for his business. "My plan going in was not to work every day," Cochran said. "I wanted to build the business up and then hire the proper people to work my system. That was the goal all along." "It didn't work out that way at first," he said. He, his wife, and one hired mechanic were the only employees. When he bought it, there were no systems in place. We had a 5-year plan, but that 5-year plan took about 10 or 12 years to get in place, he said. Now there is a system for doing everything. That includes greeting customers with the same spiel, performing diagnostic tests in front of the garage so customers can see exactly what is being done to their cars, and recording the details of every job on computer so Cochran knows exactly how the business is doing at any moment.
Thank you, Wayne. This is Advanced Studio Classroom. We are on page 19 in your magazine looking at the business article entitled Indispensable. Well, Yes, it's a question because are you, as the owner of your company, indispensable? Well, perhaps you are. But does that mean that every day you need to be there doing all of the detail work, seeing each of the customers from morning until night? Not necessarily. Not if you learn how to delegate authority or trust other people or establish some system of operation so that your business can continue when you're not there.
Well, yesterday at the end, we talked about having systems in place, and today we'll be continuing to talk about having ways of doing things, methods and procedures that you can use and put into your business so that when you're not there, your business will continue on.
Okay. Well, I think it's just the simple idea of making a small business work, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
I like in line 6 how this J.D. Cochran says, my plan going in was not to work every day. And I think that's important. Most people don't start a business thinking, oh, I'm going to do this so I can work myself to death. Usually they start a business because they see it as a way to financial security, maybe even wealth and freedom for maybe later on planning for their future. So this is very important to know, a long-range plan, have a system in place. Or you could start a business and literally work yourself to death.
Yes, and that certainly does happen to lots of people.
Or maybe if you're someone who is in a business or you have your own business, are you working every day? And if you are, maybe it's time to reconsider whether working every day is really the best thing to do, or are there other things you can do to work your way out of working every day?
Yeah, work yourself out of a job. Well, that's what we're looking at here at the top of the paragraph, Ethan. It says, take J.D. Cochran. Again, he's an example now being used here in the article. He is a retired Navy chief who bought an independent auto repair business in Florida 14 years ago. Now, he bought an independent business. How would an independent business be different from some other business?
An independent business is a business that is going to function on its own apart from any other businesses.
Okay, so it's private.
It's private.
It's not a part of some other corporation or it's not a part of another company.
No, it's not.
Okay. I should say part of a larger company. It's private, independent.
I want to mention another term here, Troy. It's not listed, but we see independent auto repair business. He bought one. It was already existing. Mm. And we also might see the term franchise sometimes in business magazines. And that's where you buy a business that already exists from a larger company, and you get to open up one of their locations. And many times, by buying a franchise or a business that already exists, you're a step or two ahead of the game because there's already a business plan in place, kind of a how-to manual.
Sure. And when you buy an independent business, too, there is a client list, a clientele that has already been built up over the years from the previous owner. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if the previous owner has done a good job in the community and people like the business, then there's a good chance that because you have good clients who liked the business in the past, they will continue to seek your services in the future as well. So it says here, J.D. Cochran, this retired Navy chief, you know, he was probably leaving the military after 20, 25 years, whatever. He decided to retire. And then he wanted to continue working. So it says that he drew on experiences from his 26 years in the military.
And this definitely would be something that would be of great help to him. Mm. If he's going to draw on his experiences, he's going to take those experiences and take the wisdom and the knowledge that he gained out of those and apply them into his current business.
I'm sure in the military, they had different ways of doing things. People are usually very organized and very efficient. So there are procedures, standard operating procedures, maybe for if there's a bomb, what should we do? Or if there's a fire, what are the steps we should take to?
Yeah, and I think the military, much like it has a team approach, they work together well as a team. And so there's no one individual out there that, you know, he or she considers him or herself to be a lone ranger. They work together as a team. And so going into business, he saw that it's important that there be more than just one person, himself.
I like what he says in line 8. I wanted to build the business up and then hire the proper people to work my system. Those are two keys. Hire the proper people, and then he says, work my system. So at least he's got the first two building blocks there to succeed.
Good point. And, you know, Bill, you told us when you start a new business, obviously you will need to give lots of hours and lots of time to getting it started because it's very small and there are lots of details that need your attention. Unless you are fortunate to find someone who understands exactly how you want to build the business, you're pretty much left to do it on your own. And two, financially, you might not be able to afford to hire someone in the beginning of your small business. So it is you and you alone running the business, but at some point, you need to be able to hire more people to work with you and, as he says here, to work your system.
And I think that's important. Time in a company is when you first start out. That is the time when you are going to be building the systems, and so you need to, as soon as you start putting these systems into place rather than just doing everything yourself without recording what you are doing. I found the computer very helpful in this aspect because you can make up the charts that you – this is the steps I go through when I do this. This is what I'm going to do in this situation. Mm-hmm. And then that can later be passed on when you have the ability to hire outside help.
Okay. Now, in the article here in line 12, though, it says that it actually didn't work out that way, did it?
No. At first, it was just him, his wife, and one hired mechanic. They were the only employees.
Hmm.
So when they bought it, there were no systems in place.
Wow. So you can see he wants more than just a small independent auto repair company here. He would like to expand this into something much larger is his vision and his plan. So what he said they had a 5-year plan.
But it actually took 10 to 12 years before they actually got that plan working or got it up and running. So even though he had a great plan, but sometimes things don't always happen as we plan. Mm. But I think what's great is that he built some systems into his business plan so later other people were able to do his job or help him, and he could delegate some of his tasks.
Yes, that's what he says in the next line. He says, now there is a system for doing everything. Okay, and what does the system include?
It includes greeting customers with the same spiel, performing diagnostic tests in front of the garage so customers can see what exactly is being done to their car, and recording the details of every job on a computer.
Hmm. Wow. So you can see the efficiency, too, of this operation. He's also telling his customers, we're up front, we're open, we're not trying to hide anything. If there is a problem with your car, you can see it yourself. So, you know, there's more than just simply repairing a car, but there's also your clients, your customers to consider as well.
Well, I love that in line 22, in front of the garage, so customers can see. I think of my experience of owning an automobile for over 20 years. I don't know how many times I've taken my car to the garage to get repairs. They take it back, they do something to it, and somehow they come out and say, we've got a lot of work to do, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Yes.
And so by having these systems in place, that they're always going to be greeted the same way, that they're going to get to see the work, the diagnostic work done, he's created a consistency that the consumer can then respond to, and it will hopefully increase his business.
Well, it says here there is at least a standard process of each of the mechanics greeting the customers, he says, with the same spiel. In English, we would say spiel. The Germans probably would accent it correctly, and they might say spiel.
Yeah, and what this is just a speech. You often want to persuade someone when you give this speech. So, for example, if you walk into a store, they might say, hi, this is Manny's Donuts. Welcome to our donut shop. How can we help you? And if you walk in and every salesperson says the same thing, then they're giving the same spiel.
Hmm, good point. And sometimes, even in a company, you might say, well, let's go into the meeting room and hear the boss's spiel. Okay. It's something that you expect him to say because he says it often. All right. And so performing diagnostic tests. Now, diagnostic is one of our vocab focus words, but it's kind of a specialized term as well.
In this case, we're talking about a diagnostic test on a car, and that's going to be examining what is wrong with the car. Diagnostic overall is relating to the examinations made of anything to find something wrong.
Okay, now that's true even in companies. They'll often perform diagnostic operations, whether it's on a machine or even concerning the inter-office operations. They may run certain kinds of tests to discover how well something functions.
You can even go to the doctor, Troy, and they'll do a diagnostic test on you, maybe to test your heart or other parts of your body just to see how your health is.
Okay. So there are two reasons for apparently setting up this plan in the case of J.D. Cochran and his auto repair business. We see here, first, he can be open and available to customers, so he's being transparent. Customers have a sense that, hey, this man is honest. This business is open and honest and upfront. And secondly, also, everything is being logged onto the computer, so there is efficiency as well.
I wanted to mention spiel, one of our vocabulary focus words, how important that is that your employees know how to greet customers. Mm-hmm. And whether you have a store where customers are coming in or if you have employees that are going out and meeting with customers, just the simple fact of how do they greet people, because yes, our first impression in the first 5 seconds of meeting somebody, that person often will decide whether or not they want to do business with you.
Oh, absolutely. I've been in places where I simply was greeted very coldly, or I was given a cold shoulder,
right,
which simply means that the person didn't want to attend to me. They didn't want to look after my business or help me.
Right.
And of course, that told me a lot. That told me that maybe this company really isn't interested in my business, or that if they do the work, they probably do it very poorly. Mm-hmm. So you're right. The spiel is very important, that you know how to introduce the company and yourself to prospective customers.
I also like the fact that at any moment he can look on the computer and find out what is going on with the business. I think this is important because you are still involved at any point with any part of the business if you choose to be. You can check up on even the smallest details, but you are not involved in that process. You do not have to be doing all of the work yourself.
I think this is the difference between being just an employee and being the manager. If you're the manager, you don't have to do everything, but you manage people and you know what they're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. This is something that I believe Walmart did in its early days before any other companies, any other large merchandising companies got involved in, electronically they databased all of their goods in their store. Everything that they sold, their merchandise, was on computer database. And when something was sold, they knew how much of that product had been sold, which meant that they could always get new product to the store to replace it fast. And that was one of the successes, was that efficiency of Walmart. And that's one reason why they are listed, at least in the United States, as one of the highest earning companies in the United States.
That's, as Ethan mentioned, having computers and having information accessible. For instance, if I'm J.D. Cochran and you bring your car into me, Troy, I can just quickly look up and say, oh, yeah, Troy, 3 months ago we fixed that back rear tire, that left rear tire on your car. I can have information just like that available to me, and that's going to help me retain you as a customer.
Mm-hmm. So you need to have some standard operating procedure, some form that your employees understand when they greet customers. In fact, when I get my car repaired here in Asia, it's always a fun and easy process for me because I know what to expect. As soon as I drive my car up, I will have someone greet me. They'll come out. He'll say, what's the problem? He has a clipboard. He'll write down the mileage from my odometer in the car. He'll write down the make of the car and the model number, license plate, and as soon as he puts this information into the computer, it immediately comes up. So he knows who I am, he knows what he's done, and I find it to be very helpful. And usually after 1 month, maybe 5 or 6 weeks later, he'll call me back on the phone and he'll say, is everything still okay with the car? I mean, that's good customer service, good follow-up. So I think when people can anticipate what is going to happen because you as a company are operating according to a plan, then it also makes you feel better and it makes your customers feel better too. Okay. Well, why don't we look then at the second part of today's lesson? It's called The Key.
The Key. Cochran's daughter, Linda, works in the business as his financial manager. She has systematized her end of the business, too.
her father or the shop's general manager can step in for her when needed. She has a standard operating procedure, or SOP, written up in an employee handbook for her job and for the front counter. Even so, Cochran thinks getting good employees who make the system work is the crucial factor. I've got key people in key places, Cochran said, and that's what affords me to be off and play golf 2 or 3 days a week.
Okay, Advanced Studio Classroom here. This is the second half of today's lesson just read for us by Wayne. Let's then look on page 19. At the top right, it says Cochran's daughter. This is J.D. Cochran, remember. He's the one who owns the auto repair business. And his daughter, Linda, works in the business as his financial manager. So he's keeping, at least at this point, some of the business in the family. It looks like he's training those within his family to work the business.
Well, I'm sure he trusts his daughter, too, to be the financial manager, so that makes it a little bit convenient.
It does. Mm-hmm. And what has she done here?
She has systemized her end of the business, which is the financial end, as we just mentioned.
Okay, systematized. Systematized her end of the business, too. So it seems the word systematic here, or at least the same idea, keeps coming up over and over. Probably one way to make a small business work is you need to systematize. You need to have a plan that works the same way every day, that's consistent and efficient.
Well, it says here that since it's systematized, her father or the shop's general manager can step in for her when needed. So maybe if she's on vacation or taking care of family matters, they can step in.
Okay, so the shop does have a general manager as well. And as you said, they use the word here, step in. That's an idiom, vocab focus idiom here, Esther.
And what step in means is to do someone's work for them because they cannot do it for themselves. So maybe they're not there or something came up. For example, I could say, Ethan, if I'm not here today to teach my class in the afternoon, can you please step in for me?
Good point. Okay, good example. We often do ask people to step in for us, and it has the idea of doing someone else's work for them because they can't do it. Usually, it's not because they have the inability or they don't have the capability. It might be that, but usually it's because there's a problem and the person is incapacitated at some point. They're simply unable to do it right now. So would you please temporarily step in, help them out?
In fact, I have an example of this. On Saturday, Troy, I had lost my voice last week, and I had to have another teacher step in for me and teach my English classes. And fortunately, I had already had my lesson plans written up, which is part of our system at the school I work. Just in case somebody's sick, the next person can step in, teach the class, rather than walking to the classroom and not having a clue what to do.
Wow. So that's a very good example of how a good system works, having someone there who can step in and take over. Well, that's true for Cochran's daughter, Linda. Someone can step in, it says. And it says she has a standard operating procedure, or SOP.
Well, that's our standard operating procedure at my school. I have to make sure my lesson plans are made 1 week in advance. That's just the way we operate, and it's all part of the job.
Okay, and it says the SOP. We probably wouldn't actually use this word here, this acronym SOP. We would say Standard Operating Procedure. It said it's written up in an employee handbook. A good company always has an employee handbook.
Actually, I've heard in industry it'll be the term SOP.
Ah.
So what's your SOP?
Okay.
And I had actually worked for a company, too, that had SOPs in place because there was a lot of turnover with employees. And fortunately, the SOPs were very clear on what their duties were.
We can say the SOP is like a how-to guide. Procedures, steps, 1, 2, 3, 4, follow these steps, you can do the job. Sometimes we use this when talking about different types of jobs, maybe a purchase form, or you're in an export-import company, they have different SOPs.
Okay, so what you're seeing here, in some ways, in a company, there really need to be job descriptions. so that everybody knows what it is that they do, and in the event that they cannot do that, or they can't show up for work on a particular day, there will be someone else who understands the description of that job and how to do it, how to operate in that position until the original employee can return.
I think about when our editor from Advance Magazine went on a short vacation. I had to step in and help do some of her work so that we could keep producing articles to record. And I had to follow. She had laid out SOPs for me so that I knew what to do. Otherwise, I would have been totally lost.
Okay. Well, it's one thing to have a systematized way of operating or to have an SOP, but it's quite another thing to have an employee who actually knows how to do the job because they have the qualifications for the job.
Well, it's a matter of picking the right people and training them. And this introduces another term we may have talked about before, and that's delegating. Oftentimes, the person that starts the business wants to do everything, and they have difficulty delegating because they just don't feel anybody else can do the job as well. Well, if you want your business to grow, you're going to have to find somebody that can do it and train them, or else you're just going to be working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow. And that's what Cochran says here. He thinks getting good employees who make the system work is the crucial factor. So finding the right people. He said, I've got key people in key places. What does it mean to have a key person in a key place?
A key person is someone who is very important or is very good at what they're going to be doing. And a key place is an important place. And so having the right people in the right place.
Okay, so we often use the word key when referring to something that is of crucial importance. We might even say this is a key factor or something like that, something that is, in a sense, indispensable. Well, you as the boss perhaps need to recognize that you are dispensable, that there are people that can replace you and do the job that you do. But those persons that replace you are, in fact, indispensable. You need them, and you need to depend on them.
Well, and I like the last line Cochran says, and that's what affords me to be off and play golf 2 or 3 days a week. So it gives him the freedom to go and do something if he wants to.
I think we all wish we could be like this person or wish that this would happen to us. But at the same time, I think we should remember that this is this person's opinion and that we don't necessarily have to believe everything we hear, but it's good to think about ways that we make ourselves so we are not overloaded with work.
Sure. And I think that's true, especially for the person who tends to be a perfectionist, very detail-oriented, those who probably could do the job better than other employees in the company. Nevertheless, because they spend so much of their time at work, their health is being jeopardized. And in the end, I mean, is it worth killing yourself over?
Well, that's all a question of balance, too, in our life. And I believe we had talked about that in one of our other articles. You need to find a balance between work and your free time. And some of these techniques in here will help you achieve that balance.
Very good. Well, we thank you for being with us on the program today. And I hope that you'll ask others to join you in listening to this program. Don't forget to buy Advanced Magazine with the MP3 because it will help you to learn the vocabulary better and you can listen to this program again and again. Until next time, this is Troy,
Ethan,
Esther,
and Bill
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.